Okay, one of the major episodes in Parshas Matos is the Maisa with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven requested from Moshe that they should inherit the land on the east side of the Yarden, where the ground was very fertile and good for their sheep. For their cattle, for their livestock, for their sheep. So here there's a general theme which many Mefarshim discuss. It's really based on Rashi, based on Chazal, and I want to develop that briefly. And then I want to say over a sermon, a drasha that I heard from the Rav of my shul, Rav Malinowitz Shlita. He's the editor, one of the editors of Art School Gemaras, and he said over a beautiful drasha, building on this theme of Chazal and Rashi. Rashi, based on Chazal, point out that the Psukim really show that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had their priorities were a little mixed up. Their priorities weren't the way they were supposed to be. The Perek begins, Umikne Rav Hayaliv Bnei Reuven. That's the beginning. They had a lot of livestock, abundant livestock. And that's the beginning. And because of the abundant livestock, they wanted this makom on the east side of the Yarden, the makom mikne. And they came and they asked Moshe, and they said, we would like this eretz miknehi v'lavodecha mikne. Already we see their focus is their livestock. Their focus is their sheep and their cattle. That was what their request was based on, a place for their sheep. Okay. Moshe reacts in a negative way. Then they ask again in Pasuk Tes Zayin, and here it's blatant. Here, the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven say, we shall build here for our livestock enclosures, gedarim, you know, a place to, like, fenced in areas for their livestock, and we'll build cities for our children. So they put the mikneh directly before their children. So Rashi points out, based on Chazal, they made a mistake. Look in Rashi. Chasim hayu al mamonam yoser mibneim uvnosem. They cared more about their money, their property. They were more concerned about their property than about their children. Sheikedimu mikneim letapam. That they put the livestock before their children. Amar lehem Moshe. Moshe said, okay, no, you're wrong. Asu ha'ikar, ikar, veha tafel, tafel. Make the ikar, ikar, make the primary, primary. I mean, make the essential, essential. And make the secondary, secondary. And Moshe says, b'nu achem t'chilo arimu t'ipchem, ve'achar kein gidros. When Moshe speaks back to them in Pasuk, Kaf, Dalid, Moshe switches the order. Moshe says in Pasuk, Kaf, Dalid, b'nu lachem arim v'tapchem u'gderes l'tzonachem. So Chazal interpret, Rashi quoting Chazal interprets, that Moshe was giving them Musar. You put the mikneh first. That's a mistake. Make the ikar ikar and the tafel tafel, and Moshe puts the cities for the children first, and then the gderes for the tzonachem. So we see an indication in Pasuk Kavav that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven understood this, and they were mekabel the Musar, and they said in Pasuk Kavav, Tapenu, Nashenu, Miknenu, V'chol Behemtenu, Yusham Be'er Gilad. There they get the order correct. They make the order correct. They put their wives and children first before their property. This is the Yesod of Chazal, that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they made the Iker Tafel and the Tafel Iker, and Moshe corrected them. Our first just develops this. Our first says that our sages say that the order in which Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven couch this suggestion shows us the trend of their thoughts and the overwhelming love of possessions, which altogether lay at the root of their whole wish. Their herd were nearer to their hearts than their children. Hence, first, Gidros song lemiknenu, and then Arim l'tapenu. Otherwise, they would have thought twice, if only for their children's sake, before endangering their spiritual connection with the nation and its sanctuary by withdrawal on account of the attractive pasturage nature of this district. In other words, you know, to stay in the east side of the Yarden, further from the Beis Hamikdash, is putting your kids in some danger. You're further away from the ruchniyus center of the nation. That's a mistake. In other words, this idea of ikar ikar and tuffel, of making the ikar tuffel and tuffel ikar, was part of a broader problem that they weren't taking the ruchniyus of their children as strongly as focusing on it as strongly as they should have. In Moshe's reply, our first continues. He places the care for the children in the foreground, and they took due notice of that. In their concluding words, in Pasuk Kavav, they put the women and children before the animal stock. So in a sense, they accepted Moshe's Musar. However, and this next point is a point which I won't discuss now at length, but Rav Nevensol develops this point at length, which we'll discuss Mitzvah Shem elsewhere. Even if they put if they mention their children first before the livestock, still, they made a mistake here, because they chose not to live close to the Beis Hamikdash. That was a mistake. They had a chance to live on the west side of the Yarden, closer to the Beis Hamikdash, closer to the source of Ruchnius and Kedusha, and they didn't. So even if they put their wives and children first, the way they're supposed to, before their material possessions, but still, the whole choice to live there was a mistake, and it reflects putting their material possessions over the general spiritual welfare of their children. When they actually mentioned the cities for their children after the Gederos for the Tzon, that's a very severe mistake, that they mentioned the welfare physically afterwards, so that Moshe gives the Musar, and that Musar their Mekabel. But the broader issue, that the whole decision to live there on the east side of the Yarden, further from the Beis HaMikdash, is a mistake, which we'll see. Rav Nevensol develops that at length. The truth is, Chazal really mentioned it, as Rav Hirsch says now. Rav Hirsch quotes Chazal that their focus on their material possessions didn't help them so much, because when the Jews went into Galus, Bnei Gad and Bnei went into Galus first. And as the words of our sages go on to say, this placing too much value on material possessions did not do them any good in the long run. Just as they grasped at possessions prematurely, so they were the first to lose their possessions and homeland. They were the first to be exiled, as it says in Dibra Yamim Aleph Perikei. They're first to go into Galus. So the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven made the Ikar Tuffel and the Tuffel Ikar by mentioning the children first. Moshe corrected them. And that specific point, they heard the Musar, and they changed their language a little and put the women and children first. That's the Pashup Shot of the Psukim. The broader issue, that the whole point, the whole desire to live there was a mistake, that we'll discuss from Rav Nevensol. Now, a little bit later, Rav Milinowitz Shlita developed the theme as follows. He says, you know, this idea of making the Ikar Tuffel and the Tuffel Ikar, people say, how could they possibly do that, to put their children after their parnasa? You know, we think, whoa, this is like crazy. How could they possibly do it? Rav Milinowitz says, you know, the truth is, this is something which many people have to think about, whether all of us or many of us have this problem. He says there are many other examples in life where people sometimes tend to make the Ikar Tuffel and the Tuffel Ikar. And he gave several examples. For example, let's say a person wants to go learn out of the house at night. His wife wants him to go learn at night. He wants, you know, and the Rav of my shul pushes. In our shul, we have Maariv at 8:30, Maariv at 10:15. So 8:45 to 10:15, that's like the night seder. The Rav wants the men to come learn for night seder, an hour and a half at night. Okay, and he gives chizuk to the women, to allow their husbands to learn. In our shul, every year, the shul makes a siyum on Shas. Shas is divided up amongst the members of the shul. Each member takes around 30 or 40 brat. And at the end of the year, the shul as a whole makes a siyum. And the party and the celebration of the siyum is focused, Rav Milinowitz has, is focused on the wives. They encourage the husbands to go out to learn. And the whole focus of the siyum at the end of the year is to show appreciation to the wives for allowing and encouraging their husbands to go out to learn. Okay. So you're going out to learn, and you're in a rush, and because you're in a rush, you get angry at your wife and speak to her in not a nice way when you're in a rush to leave. So Abunowitz said, you know, as important as it is to go learn, you know, but shalom bias is the basis of everything. He said to have less shalom bias because you want another 5 minutes of learning. Doesn't make sense. You're making the Iker Tufel and the Tufel Iker. That's one example which he gave. Another example, a person is making a Parnassa. And he works so hard, he wants to make another few extra dollars. He works so hard, he never sees his children. Now, sometimes people are stuck. They mamash can't make ends meet, and they have to work very late. But a person sometimes decides to work a little longer. He wants to make a little, he wants to be on the fast track and make a little more money. He says, you know, to choose your Parnassa and working late, very late, and mamash, you know, nearly never see your children, that is making the Iker Tufel and the Tufel Iker. That's a second example we gave. A third example, person's a little late, a person's rushing to get to davening on time. He's a little bit late. So what does he do? He starts mumbling the brachos as he's running along to get to shul. He says, you know, the whole point is to daven with kavanah. You want to be in shul. One reason we daven in shul is when you're in shul with a minyan, you have more kavanah. So you're trying to get to shul to daven with kavanah. And on the way to shul, you mumble the brachos without kavanah and have less kavanah because you're going to shul. He says that's making the Iker Tufel and the Tufel Iker. The point here is that there are many examples in everyday life that a person sometimes focuses on, makes the Iker Tufel and the Tufel Iker. And all of us have to learn from this mistake that the Torah records about B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. A fourth example he gave, this is a classic example. The Mishnah says, "I say Torah Chakev Melach Tacharai, make your Torah the kvias, the fixed part of your day, and your work is the arai, the less fixed part of your day." Now, Rav Leibowitz, he always says this: it's not an issue of time; the issue is a focus. This I've heard from other Rabbanim as well. What's your focus during the day? Is your focus that I have a shir to go to, and I will everything else will revolve around the shir, or is your focus I have my work and my parnasa? And I'll try my best to find time to learn every day. You have to make the learning the primary. The learning is the keva. It's the fixed part of your day. It's the fixed part of your week. Daf Yomi is very good for this. People go to Daf Yomi. It's like, you know, they move mountains. And let's say a person has a Daf Yomi shir. And he's invited to a bar mitzvah. Of a friend, not such a close friend, but he's a friend. So he'll go. So if he didn't have Daf Yomi, he'd stay there the whole bar mitzvah. But he has Daf Yomi shir, he'll go, he'll say mazal, he'll dance, then he'll run back to his Daf Yomi shir. That's a person who's making his learning the Iker part of his day, the Iker, the Keva part of his day, and everything else is tough. This is a major challenge that people have. People are working for a living. They have to really make sure that they're learning, they have kfias in learning, that they realize that's the Iker. Not that's the Iker necessarily in time. You might spend more time at the office. You might spend more time at your job. But it's the Iker and focus. That's the fixed part of your day. That's the focus of your kfias. That's Taras HaKevel Mach Tcharai. That's a fourth example which Rav Mulinowitz gave. And the last example, which is really very overarching, is the idea of Tefillah and asking Hashem for help. A person has Tzaras. People have tzaras in life, difficulties. Some people have tzaras in parnasa. Some people have tzaras with their children. Some have tzaras in other areas of life. Some people have tzaras in health. So a person naturally tries to work on solving these tzaras. A person tries to find a better job. A person tries to do what's best for his kids. A person goes to a doctor. These are all important things to do. However, in every area of life, Rav Leibowitz says, the Iker is asking Hashem for help. The Iker is the tefillos. You have to make your fully shtadlus, but the Iker is the tefillos. And Rav Leibowitz says, some people, they'll do everything they need to do, but they won't ask Hashem for help. And he thinks that's a classic example of making the Iker Tufel and the Tufel Iker. You have to do the planning, you have to do the work, you have to make all these shtadlus, but you have to recognize that everything's in the hands of Hashem, and with all the things the Hishtadlis are trying to do, the Iker is the Tfilos Torah Baruch Hu. This is Rav Leibowitz gives a shir in the Chovas HaLevavos. This is a recurring theme in the Chovas HaLevavos, that as much as you're supposed to put in the Hishtadlis, you have to remember the Iker is the Tfilos. So Rav Leibowitz said, this fifth example affects everyone, affects all of us. So always remember that the Tfilos are the Iker. You have to do the Hishtadlis, but the Tfilos are the Iker. And so this mistake, which the B'nei Gad and Reuven made, which to us seems, oh my gosh, putting their kids in front of, putting their parnasa, putting their money in front of the kids, Iker Tafel and Tafel Iker, it seems like very extreme. So there are many examples in our own lives where a similar idea comes up, and we have to learn from the mistake of B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven to make the Iker Iker and the Tafel Tafel. That was Rav Linowitz's very strong drasha. It was Musa there. Very strong drasha developing this theme of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven and applying it in our own ordinary daily lives. Okay, that's the Maisa with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and we will stop here. Then, Mitzvah Shem, I'll be discussing elsewhere Rav Nevensol's take on Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. He has many, he has several beautiful ideas about this maisa with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Okay, we'll stop here for now. Okay, let's continue. So near the end of Perek Lamed Aleph, the Torah describes that after the Muhammad, so much of the shalom, the booty, was brought to Moshe, and it was brought to Moshe. They wanted to dedicate it to use for Hashem, to use somehow in the Beis Hamikdash, or to offer it to Hashem. Oh. So here's what's happening. So in Pasuk Nun it says, the Sarei Alafim are speaking to Moshe, and they said, Moshe, we're back, and not one person died. V'anakrev es korban Hashem ish asher matza, kli zahav etzadav etzamit habas gil v'chumaz, v'chaper anafshenu lifnei Hashem. And we have brought an offering to Hashem. What every person found, there were ankle bracelets and normal bracelets and earrings and rings, whatever we found for a kapara, and we're offering it to we're bringing it to Hashem. So Moshe took it. Moshe took the zahav from them. Okay. Then the Torah mentions in pasuk nun gimel, anshei hatzava bazazu ishlo, the men of the army took stuff for themselves. They took spoils, each person for himself. Pasuk Nun Dalet, the pasuk says, Moshe Nazar took the Zahav Me'es Sarei Ha'alafim V'Hameos, and they brought it to the Olmoed. Notice, it doesn't say they brought the Zahav of the Anshe Hatzava. They only brought the Shalol. They brought the Shalol that was taken from the Sarei Ha'alafim. So what's happening here? So the Nativ explains the idea. These rings and bracelets and jewelry were removed from the women of the Midyanim. Now, when you, meaning it was people, the soldiers went up to the women who were dead or alive or dead and took their jewelry. So when you take the jewelry from the women, there's a chance of having hirhur aveira, having inappropriate thoughts. So that's what's happening here, the Nativ says. He says that's why the Sarei Ha'alafim, they came to Moshe and they said, Vizaya Muvukasham. They were asking Moshe, we want to bring this jewelry and use it and offer it to Hashem and let it be used in the Beis HaMikdash somehow. But, he said, they had a question. These kelim are garmim hirhura, and they're like esnan zona shepsulim mizbeach, kirisa bitmura. And therefore, they had to get Moshe's approval. Esnan zona means if a person is a person's mezana with a zona, a zona is a prostitute. So, the payment used is usher to be used on the mizbeach. If the payment that was used for znus is usher to be used on the mizbeach, because you can't have something that has that connection with chait on the mizbeach. So they were wondering, so they were sort of asking Moshe, we have all this jewelry. The taking of the jewelry may have been connected with a chait, with hirhur, inappropriate thoughts. We want to offer it in the Beis HaMikdash. So the answer was yes. Why was the answer yes? How come the gold and the jewelry that was given from the Sarei Ha'alafim, the Pasuk says the Pasuk Nundalad, was accepted, but by implication we see the jewelry in Pasuk Nun Gimel wasn't accepted? So the Nitziv explains. Tam shonis kabel me apchusim hainu mishum shehem bazua tashchitim ishlo. Im ken v'shas biza v'hasar mina isha hoybezegam hiru aveira. Im ken igiel ham baver k'mos dan zona. Ma'ashen ken hasarim hagdolim shelo bazu be'atzam ela nitan chelkam mibalei atzava v'igiel ham al de aveira. It's a very sharp diuk. The actual soldiers who removed the jewelry, there's at least a good chance there may have been hirhurim raim, inappropriate thoughts, and therefore that, and therefore whatever they took and kept for themselves was couldn't be used in the mizbeach, couldn't be used in the Beis Hamikdash. In Pasuk Nun Gimel, the Torah says, "Anshei Hatzava bazu ishlo." The Netziv is learning that by inference, that it's very possible many of these soldiers would have wanted to dedicate this jewelry to the Beis Hamikdash, just like the Sarei Alafim dedicated the jewelry to the Beis Hamikdash, but it wasn't accepted. How come the jewelry that was taken by the soldiers and kept for themselves was not accepted, but the jewelry that was offered to Moshe by the Sarei Alafim, by the leaders of the army, was accepted? For the very, very beautiful idea. The leaders of the actual soldiers who removed the jewelry had a hurim rhyme. So this jewelry that they're presenting was connected with the chait. However, the Sarei Alafim, they received the jewelry from others. So their receiving of the jewelry had no chait involved. The chait that may have happened was several times removed. It was from the original soldiers. These leaders of the army, the generals, the leaders, they receive the jewelry without a chait. So therefore, they are able to go and dedicate that jewelry to the Beis Hamikdash, and it was accepted by Moshe, it was accepted as an offering to Hashem, and brought into the Olam Moed. That's the Netziv's very sharp analysis of this section, of the difference between the jewelry that was offered by the Sarei Alafim versus the jewelry that was taken by the ordinary soldiers, which the Netziv assumes they also would have wanted to offer, at least some of them, and it wasn't accepted. That's the diuk in Pasuk Nun Daled, and the difference and the reason why not. Oh, that's the Netziv at the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. Okay, let's continue. Rav Hirsch also has a comment about this jewelry, and Rav Hirsch says as follows, thoughtfully, they choose for that all the women's jewelry, perhaps with a double idea, thereby to remove every remembrance of the Midianite women out of their midst, as well as to prove their future faithful adherence to morality, to vindicate their having participated in the miraculous protective grace of Hashem. They wanted to remove any zecher of these, of the aveira of the Midianim, and furthermore, and this is the crucial point, they wanted to show that Hashem, you gave us the schus of having this tremendously miraculous military victory, and we want to rededicate ourselves to morality, to undo the chait of the Midianim. Thank you, Hashem, for the nace you've done for us, and to show that we have a new, greater rededication to morality. And Ruchnius, we're going to dedicate this jewelry to be used dafka in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that's Rav Hirsch's comment there. Again, to prove their future faithful adherence to morality, to vindicate their having participated in the miraculous protective grace of Hashem in this military venture. Okay, at the end of the parasha, Rav Hirsch makes a beautiful comment here, which is as follows. Says, the Torah is describing that Moshe gave Gilad to Machir ben Menashe, Vayeshev ba. Okay. And then, Yair ben Menashe went and conquered Chavosehem, and he called it Chavos Yair. Vinovach went and conquered Kinos and its suburbs, and he called it Novach Bishmo. And Novach called this city Novach after his name. Now, what's striking here is as follows. There's a Medrash Rabba. Oh, Rashi quotes from the Medrash that it's written, Vayikra lo Novach Bishmo. There's no dagesh in the hay of the word la. Normally, there would be a dagesh here, and he called it Novach Bishmo. So the Medrash says, "Lefi shelonis kaim loch shem ze." This name didn't last for her. Therefore, it's rafa. Therefore, it's without the dagesh. Meaning that what? It can be read, as opposed to saying loch, it can be read like the word lo. Okay, Rashi has a kasha on that comment. But there is a medrash that sounds like that the reason why there's no dagesh in the word loch is a remez that his name didn't last. What's the significance of he calls the name doesn't last? Our first here has a beautiful idea. He says as follows. The Medrash to Rus comments, Shelo amad lo oso shem. The shame didn't last. The suffix of the personal pronoun being written without a sound, without a mapik, indicates that the town or the district did not retain the name, so that Novak's intention to immortalize himself thereby was not achieved. So why is this in the Torah? What's the significance? A beautiful idea. Does this perhaps express a slight reprehension of such procedure to found a memorial in bricks and stone to mortalize oneself, and earthly immortalization, which the true Jew should seek and find solely through the great deeds of spiritual and moral faithfulness to duty, and through the whole content of a noble life? Amamish, a beautiful rhetorical question, which makes a very strong point in Torah Hashkafa. The Torah is teaching us, this is not the way to immortalize yourself. You don't immortalize yourself with a memorial of bricks and stone. You immortalize yourself with deeds of Avodas Hashem, Ruchnius, morality, the whole content of a noble life. You know, sometimes people, they give tzedakah, so they put the name. So that's the name on the building represents the giving of the tzedakah. That's a different idea. But our verse says, to immortalize yourself with pure bricks and stones is not the Jewish way. You want to immortalize yourself, again, as our verse says, the great deeds of spiritual and moral faithfulness to duty, and through the whole content of a noble life. You give tzedakah, and they put your name on a building from the tzedakah. That's wonderful. That's the name of the building represents the noble life, the life of spiritual deeds. But that might be the significance. Why? What's the message of these three psukim? The message is to teach you the correct approach versus the incorrect approach to how to achieve immortality, that your name should live on, that your name in a sense should live on. Okay, that's Parshas Matos, and we'll stop here.